Hello and welcome to another edition of Should Have Listened to My Mother. I'm Jackie Tantillo. I can hear some of the responses already when someone says, should have listened to my mother. Like, absolutely no way. She was a mess. Others, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her, right? We all have different experiences or have had different experiences. It's a really tough subject for some of us, and then it's absolute joy for others. Was your mom on a pedestal? Some yes, some no. I, on the other hand, was very lucky to have a very caring and loving mom. Linda was very smart. She was creative. She loved to laugh. And I'm the youngest of seven, so there was definitely a lot of stuff going on in the house. But she was my rock, always inspiring us and keeping us thinking positive. She was very unusual. So it was Linda who was my inspiration for doing this podcast, for wanting to hear and share these stories. And to share these life experiences, regardless if your mom had a good influence or a bad influence on you, and basically how we've chosen to use what we've been given. My guest is Roger Evans. He's a good friend, a good family friend, and I know he has amazing stories to tell because I've sat on our porch or talked in our backyard, and he has told the stories of his childhood growing up. He's one of 10 children. He's number 8 of the 10. He was born in Enfield, North Carolina. I thought it would be spectacular to spend a little bit more time with Roger and find out a little bit about his mom. Is Roger who he is today because of his mom or in spite of his mom? So welcome, Roger. I'm so glad you could join me.
Okay.
Please tell me your mom's name.
Ada Evans.
Ada Evans. You are the 8th of 10 children. What is the boy-girl ratio?
8 boys and 2 girls.
How did she ever manage all of these kids?
You know, that is a good question. And most, it was quite a few large families like that was living in the area. And I didn't think about it then, excuse me, when I was there. But when I left, you know, and had my own family, I used to wonder how in the world they managed with all these kids. None of them ever went hungry. They didn't have any problem with clothing, no problem with food, and everybody survived with no problem. And to see how it is now, how expensive it is to raise kids, I don't know how they managed that, but they did.
So tell me a little bit about, you were born in 1940. What was Enfield, North Carolina like back then?
Well, it was a nice little small town, a few stores, police headquarters, and so forth, a supermarket. But it was a very nice little town. during that time, we didn't have any problem with anyone, and all I can say, it was a nice town.
It's very rural, I'm assuming, where you were raised. What kind of chores and things did your mom set you to do, all of you guys?
I'll tell you, most of the people were farmers, and the chores was we had to clean the yard. That's one thing. Had to clean our rooms. That's another thing, and we had to wear clean clothes, you know, that was about it. She didn't, you know, like, pressure us to do certain things. We did, you know, we didn't question it. And, you know, that wasn't my mother's job. She didn't tell us, you know, like, take the cows out to the path or something. That was the father's job. So the mother, you know, all she wanted us to do was keep our rooms and so forth clean, and that was about it.
Tell us a little bit about the animals that you had, because you had a farm, correct?
Oh, yes. Oh, we had mules, had a horse, had cows, had pigs, chickens, and that was it for the animals.
I'm assuming the siblings had to do that work as well, right?
Well, you know, most of my father did that. Yes, we used to have to take the cows out to greener pastures and leave them out there and had to bring them home in the afternoon. Not in the afternoon, in the evening. They had to bring them home and put them in their shelters and so forth.
Did you get eggs every day from the chickens?
Oh, yes. Yep. We got eggs every day. My mother used to, you know, gather the eggs, but then sometimes she would tell us, you know, to get the eggs, you know, and so we used to do that.
I'm assuming most of these animals provided you with your meals, correct?
Oh yes. We used to milk the cows, so there was the milk, and my mother used to make butter out of the milk and cook with the milk. And we had the eggs and the chickens, and we had our own gardens and so forth. We grew most of all our food, greens and potatoes, onions and so forth. So, you know, we didn't really have to, you know, go to the stores or anything to buy much food, because most of we grew it all, you know, had all fresh food all the time.
What were some of your favorite dishes from your childhood? Because I'm getting hungry talking about all of them.
Oh, well, let me tell you, because my mother was a good cook. She could cook anything, and it's kind of hard to guess which one it is. But
it was breakfast biscuits and eggs and pancakes and grits and...
Oh yes, like for breakfast, and you wouldn't believe it, we used to have beef and gravy and homemade biscuits and coffee, milk if we wanted it. And most people here would, you know, that would be a dinner for them, but we used to eat that for breakfast. And you can't believe how good it was and how tender it was.
You were able to have all of this abundance because you were able to farm it, grow it, your vegetables, and raise your animals. Today, the minority of families in America are able to have this subsistence. We rely on the supermarkets to get our food, which raises the cost of everything.
Right, that's it. And that's the way we live, you know, and most of the people wouldn't have any problem like going to doctors and so forth. You know, that's because they ate most of all fresh food. And we didn't use, like for gardening and so forth, you know, food from the garden. We didn't use any chemicals. Where we had huge gardens, and we didn't use any chemicals. We used to use the chicken manure, the cow manure, and the horse manure, and put it in the garden, and you know, like cut it in the ground, planted vegetables and all. You had completely organic vegetables, no aftertaste, and the manures and all would make them vegetables grow like crazy. Food, we didn't have, you know, no indigestions and no heartburn or stomach aches from eating vegetables. And most people, they didn't ever go to a doctor hardly ever, you know. If they needed some medication, like for a stomach ache, most of the people knew what to get out of the woods, some tree bark or some leaves or some kind of grasses or some kind of weed, make it into some kind of medication and give it to you. Your ailments was gone. And nobody took any pills and so forth, you know.
You were way ahead of the curve, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
way ahead of the curve.
That's why today I don't like taking medications. I only take medications if I have to, and I hope I don't ever have to. I don't have any problems.
You're healthy as a horse.
Well, you know, that's what the doctors and all tell me. You know, they say, you must be healthy as a horse. They say, what do? You take medication? I said, no, I don't take any medication. You don't take aspirin or anything? I said, I don't take any medication unless I have to. I said, I might take an aspirin or a Tylenol every once in a while, but I don't take any medication. They said, oh, well, that is good, you know. But that's the way we were brought up.
So tell me a little bit about, did you go to, you obviously went to school.
Yeah, oh,
that was important.
I had to go to school. You didn't be skipping school down there, you know. Everybody in the community knew everybody. It was no kid walking around just out in the highways or street. You had to be in school, you know, and so that was a good thing too. So yeah, I really liked school and so forth, you know, and I never had any problems in school.
And did your mom watch over you, make sure everything, your homework was done properly, or she trusted you guys, or?
She trusted us. We knew what we had to do, you know, so she didn't even have to ask us anything about homework and all. She knew we would do it, and if we had any problem, went to school the next day, she would know it, you know. We knew exactly what we had to do about schoolwork, you know. She didn't have to tell us, ask us, did you do your schoolwork? We knew, and we did it.
What was the, as far as camaraderie between you and your brothers and your two sisters, was it pretty wild in a house with all those kids?
No, you know what? If you would have seen it, you wouldn't think. It was always six or seven people in the house, you know, because like when the older ones got old, they had left home and then left the younger one. You wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't even think it was anybody in the house, you know? It was very good. No problem, no fighting and so forth against each other, no arguments, and it was very nice.
It's so different now with raising children, isn't it?
Oh, yes. You know what I see now? I don't know how these people raise kids now.
Well, wait a minute. You have a number of children. You did great.
Well, yeah, you know, that's another thing, you know. Like me and Rachel, you know, we tried to raise our kids like we was raised, and that's the difference. I mean, kids know right from wrong, and they will try you and, you know, see how much can they get away with. If you let them, they will get away with certain things, you know, but you have to put your foot down, and if you let kids take over, that's what they would do. Not that they know what's right, because, you know, kids don't. They will listen to their peers more so than they will their family. I can tell you certain things happened to me, and I really got punished for it. You wouldn't believe it. I got sent home for eating an apple in school, and one of my classmates, matter of fact, he was my best friend, he stole the apple. Another girl, another classmate, he stole her lunch, and he gave me an apple, but I didn't know he had stole it, you know. And so the principal asked him, did he steal the student's lunch? He said, yes. He said, I gave Roger an apple, and he told me to come up to the desk. So I go up to the desk, and I had my classmates up there, my friend. He said, okay. He said, both of you, take your books and go home, and don't come back until you bring your parents. And now you know, I had to walk to school. A mile and a half, one way, walking to school. And my classmate, he lived close by school, maybe a quarter mile from school, so he walked with me about halfway home, and then he turned around and went back. So I'm going home, and I had this long path to walk up to get to my house from the highway. So I'm walking. That was the longest path I ever seen in my life.
You were scared, so scared.
Yes. I was in the eighth grade now, and by the time I got halfway up the path, I saw my mother come out on the front porch. She was standing there on the front porch, and tears started coming in my eyes because I knew I was going to get it. It didn't seem like I could ever get to that porch. Before I even got to the yard, my mother said, what are you doing here? I said, I got sent home. But what? I said, for eating an apple. So So my oldest brother was there. She said, okay. He was out in the field at some. She said, go get Charles and tell him to come to the house. So I went and told him, Mama wants you at the house. So he comes up to the house. She said, take me to the school. And it was me and my brother and my mother. Said, take me to the school. So anyway, got to the school, and my mother walked in the school, walked in the classroom, and told the principal, I understand you sent Roger home. She said, he said, yes, I sent him and Billy home. They, Billy had stole Novella's lunch, and he gave Roger an apple. This was one of the classrooms. And you wouldn't believe how embarrassing it was. I'm standing up there right at the desk. My mother standing up there. She told the principal right out, you should have sent him home, and you should have beat his ass, too. And when my mother said that, I could have dropped through to the basement. When she said, you should have sent him home, and you should have beat his ass, too, you know.
Oh, my gosh. You must have been mortified and scared and everything.
Oh, yes. But you know what? You don't know how that stuff would stick to you. Now, that's what. Now, my mother would stick up for you for right. She wouldn't stick up for you if you did something wrong. And that's just the way it was. No one else could give me anything in school. Like kids have some candy. You want a piece of candy or something? You're like, I would say no. After that incident, I would never take anything else from no kid that offered me some candy or something. You know, that ended that right then. It was really the truth, and that's the way it was. The people would stand up for their kids for doing right, and they would punish the kids for doing wrong. It was no compromise.
Who was the disciplinarian, your dad or your mom?
Mother. My father used to always tell my mother, he would say, Ada, you whip him, because if I whip him, I'm going to kill him. You know, just like that. You know?
Oh, Roger.
My father would never whip one of my kids. And you know what? If you got a whipping, nanny, you got a whipping, you know, and you would get your own ammunition for the mother that whipped you with. There was, you know, like hedgerows, like shrubbery and stuff growing out on the side of the lawns and so forth. And if we did something wrong, my mother used to say, "Go get me a switch." You was gonna get burnt up. We would go out there. She said, "Go out there and get me a cherry switch." And a cherry switch is like a buggy whip. It's so flexible. It's like a belt. You can bend that thing like double, and it will not break. And we used to get them switches and come back to the house. My mother would tire us up. And you know what? Whatever she whipped us for, that ended right there. She didn't have to whip us out there no more. It ended. That was over with. And then a lot of times, we used to get smart, so we used to cut a switch, and what we used to do, put a slit in it, and when my mother started whaling you with that switch, the switch would break, because we had already cut it, and cut it in half. We had already cut the switch.
But did that make her stop? No, that probably made her madder.
That's right. She said, go cut me another one, and it better not break. Now, that was the worst. So, but it ended. I'll tell you what, none of her kids was ever in any problem with law enforcement or anything. Well, and during that time, you know, it was no drugs and all that kind of stuff, you know. The only thing people used to do, like smoke, and they drink some liquor or some cheap wine, you know. But that's their little high. Not none of this stuff that goes on now.
So what was it like disciplining your children?
Oh, just talking mostly.
you learned to not repeat what you went through, right?
Right, that's it. Now, I would smack them a couple of times, you know, on their butt or something, you know, they did something wrong, something like that. But never no belts and switches and stuff like that. And used to discipline like that, you know. But my kids was, you know, they were really no kids to, you know, to really be disciplining them in any kind of way, you know, because they understood, you know, we would tell them stuff, you know, and they obeyed. So it was no fighting going on and arguing and all that kind of stuff, you know. I really have never had any problem with the kids, you know. Like little mischievous stuff, you know, but not no really problem with the kids, you know. Punishing kids and disciplining. Now, when you start hitting kids with belt buckles and big sticks and so forth, that's child abuse. That's really abusing a kid.
My guest is Roger Evans. He grew up in Enfield, North Carolina, now lives in New Jersey, and he's telling us about his childhood and his mom Ada. Roger, I'd love it if you could tell us a little bit about where your mom grew up and what her upbringing was like.
Oh, much as I can tell you as much as I know about my mother, well, matter of fact, I was born in, really, it was Halifax County, and my mother was born in the next county over, which is Nash County. Now, she grew up in Nash County. I grew up in Halifax County. And my mother lived on this farm with her mother and her father, and it was 12 of them. It was 6 boys and 6 girls. But the only thing, usually, from what they started, it would continue along, you know, until they had their kids. Well, most of them worked in the fields and grew their own food and so forth.
Did she go to school?
She went to school, you know, but I don't know how far she went to school. But she was very smart, and you know, a lot of those people were self-taught, you know, and whatever was they was taught, they knew it, and a lot of them just had this simple know-how to do certain things, you know, and as far as I know, all I knew was my mother liked farming and, you know, like and raising the kids, like, as far as I know, you know, like, you know, from the age I got to know what was going on, you know, it was mostly farming. But like her upbringing, I didn't know really how it was. But I do know one thing. She was a very good church going person, and they was committed really to their mother. And now every Sunday, we had to go to Sunday school. There was one thing our mother taught us. We had to go to Sunday school every Sunday. When we leave Sunday school, we had to go see grandmother. That was my mother's mother. We had to go see them every Sunday. And all I remember is, like, the food being cooked and like across the lawn in some big building, and the food was brought over to another part of the house, which was disconnected, and it would be a whole crowd of people at the table eating and so forth. And you know, that's most of what I remember. But one thing I do know is, I know my oldest brothers used to say, oh, when they call a mammy, oh, mammy makes some of the best cakes, you know. And, but before we left home, now, this is how things work. Before we left home, my mother said, I don't want you kids going up to Mammy, you know, that was her mother, I don't want you going up there like you never had anything to eat, acting like a dog or something, you know. Stayed out in the yard. We didn't even go in the kitchen, so grandmother used to come out and say, don't your kids want something to eat? We said, no, grandmama. Don't you want some cake? We said, no. Now, my oldest brothers and all had already said how good a cake grandmama cooked, but yet and still, we were the younger ones, you know. I guess we were about 5 or 6 years old or so forth. But my mother had already schooled us, don't go up there acting like you never had anything to eat. We wouldn't eat at grandmother's house. And, well, matter of fact, we wasn't hungry anyway. Most people would be hungry. They'd be going, you know, standing around a table wanting something. These people would know they were hungry, you know. But we wasn't hungry. And so we wouldn't eat in a grandmama's cake, and we didn't eat in the house where all the other people were eating, you know.
But you didn't want your grandmother's cake? Or you knew if you took it, you were getting trouble?
Yeah, I guess my mother would have said, I told you not to eat any of the cake, you know. And so, you know, we had already gotten the message anyway, so we didn't eat anything. And, you know, because most time when we left home, we had, hadn't been too long, we had eaten breakfast anyway, you know, so we wasn't hungry, you know. Just the idea, you know. There was the rules and there was the regulations, so we didn't eat any.
Do you remember what kind of cake it was?
No. No.
Was it pies or cakes?
Well, most of it was cakes. I do remember like a coconut cake. I know there used to be like something like a coconut cake, a chocolate cake, something, you know. But it wouldn't make any difference because those people, you know, they could make any kind of cake. It was coconut cake, pineapple cake, all kinds of cakes, you know. It was no restrictions. They could make any kind of cakes, you know. But I do remember, like, coconut cake and all. And the upside-down cake, pineapple cake, chocolate cake, plain cake, strawberry cake.
You're really making me hungry now, Roger.
any kind of cake, you know.
I'm Jackie Tantillo, and I'm speaking with a good friend, Roger Evans. So you said you've been a barber, you've been a factory worker, you worked in construction, a property manager. Is it because of your mom or in spite of your mom of who you are today and the life that you've had?
Well, I am retired from work. That's one thing. And my mother was a very good person, and everybody respected her and all the kids and mostly all the people around her. They gave her the most highest respect. She was a very good person and brought up kids, I'm saying, the right way and the way kids should have been brought up. Never no problems and squabbling and fighting and arguing and so forth. She was very good, kind, loved all the kids and grandkids also. So she treated them all the same way. She was a very good person. She was tough. She was caring. And she was a very strong person and a very good church-going person. And she tried to do everything right. She was, that's the most I can say. She was a very loving person. And most people looked up to her for inspiration and so forth. She was very good at it.
I could talk to you forever about this, so maybe we'll have you back for another episode of Should Have Listened to My Mother. What do you think, Roger? We could do that in the near future?
Yes, I believe so.
It's been absolutely fascinating listening to these stories. You make everything come alive. You know, I feel like I was there living with you. It's been really wonderful.
It would have been nice. It would have. You hear me say it, and you might say, well, oh, I can't believe that. But it was true. If my oldest sisters and brothers and all, they would tell you the same thing, and they would go to the... They would go to my mother's aid, and my mother would come to their aid, and it was no hesitation. If my mother needed any of the kids to come home from a different state, they would be there no matter what. And if one of the daughters or one of the sons call on my mother to come to see me, I need to, she would be gone.
Did she drive?
No, she didn't drive. But that's just the way she was. She would take a train or bus. Not a bus. She would take a train because she didn't believe in flying. So she would take a train. Either get someone to take her. Either way, she would be gone.
But she always lived in North Carolina, or did she move out of North Carolina?
No, she has always lived in North Carolina, but she did visit New Jersey and Michigan, you know, where the kids were.
I'm sure she is shining down on you every minute of the day, Roger, because you are a wonderful son and a wonderful dad. You really are. And a wonderful husband. Next time we're going to have to talk about Rachel. Your sweetheart passed away almost a year ago, but you guys have a fascinating story. You came from almost the same towns. You were next to each other, right? And went to high school together. So we'll talk about Rachel.
Right. We were only 6 miles apart. That was it. And you know, six miles in the Carolinas, you know, is like a couple of blocks around here, you know. We used to walk 6 miles or something.
Especially to see your sweetheart.
Right. It was nothing. You know, it was nothing. And so, you know, it wasn't that many cars. People, you know, like kids, and I got a couple of cars. Down there, if one parent's son had a car, they would get together with two or three more kids from different families, and they all go together, go see the girlfriends and so forth. That's the way it was, you know. Each individual didn't have to have no car, and someone was always going by and picking up somebody else, you know, say, oh, we'll go over here and see this girl, and go, and that's just the way it was. But, you know, it was enjoyable, but it was nice. It was very good.
Looking back, it was a great place to grow up?
Yes, it was, yes. It was good. It was so open, you know. It was very good. And sometimes I think now, I wish I had gone back there before I got really stuck here. Because, you know, it's so nice. Everything is so serene and so quiet and all, you know. And people go about their business and work and everything just like they do here, you know. Not as condensed like it is here, you know.
Not such a hectic lifestyle.
Yeah, right. It's a different lifestyle. It's a slower lifestyle, but it's a good lifestyle. It's a slow, like the people feel like, you know, like here is a rat race.
Don't hold back, Roger.
right now, you know, but there, the people, you've got this feeling. If it don't get done today, tomorrow is another day. We'll do it tomorrow. So it was none of that mad rush, you know, like rat race. Everything's got to be done now. If I don't go to the supermarket get a loaf of bread today, it won't be no more bread in the supermarket until 2 or 3 weeks later. It's not like that. So it was very nice growing up there. You know, it wasn't as much industry there like it is. That's why most people migrated out of there. You know, because when the kids, you know, got out of high school and so forth, they didn't go off to college. You know, they wanted a job somewhere. So then there was no jobs there. You know, no industries all and stuff. Then everybody started leaving, going from state to state, and you know, that's how I got here. And most of the people that are from there, that's what happened. They it was nothing to do that. You know, get out of high school and, you know, you did have some education, but what are you going to get? It was nothing there. It was no industries there, so you couldn't go to a factory and work. And if you did anything, the next thing, you was just back on the farm just working. that's just the way it was.
Thank you, Roger, so much for taking us through North Carolina. I hope you'll join me again on Should Have Listened to My Mother, Roger Evans. We will definitely catch up again soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice talking to you.